In this series, as a whole, since we began this series, really our goal in doing this was to, as we tell these stories, to have Jesus come alive to us, to have him walk out of the pages of Scripture and meet us, to look us in the face and to ask us these piercing questions that he asked those that he encountered 2,000 years ago. And I think for that to happen, we really need to be in the right frame of heart and mind. So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, to you, all hearts are open and all desires known. And from you, no secrets are hid. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask you to cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, to remove all distractions from our minds, so that today, right now, we may meet your Son, our risen Lord. Amen. Today we're back in Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 21, which is the beginning of the end for Jesus' story. Just preceding our passage, Jesus is his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So he and his disciples have been in Bethany, just outside Jerusalem, at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And from there, they make the short journey into Jerusalem, Jesus riding in on a donkey, as is prophesied in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Crowds followed him into the city, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," which is an openly messianic statement. The city is swollen from people who have traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, where they commemorate God's deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh. The religious expectations at this time of the year are high. Added to that, Jesus has just entered to these proclamations of his messianic anointing. The situation is one that is charged with excitement and anxiety. There's a buzz in the air. The Roman authorities are on alert. And the Jewish religious leaders, they have already had significant run-ins with Jesus, and they are waiting and watching for their opportunity to do away with this blasphemous teacher. So it's into that highly charged political and religious environment that Jesus enters the temple. The temple, the center of life for the Jewish people. This is the most important place at the most important time, most holy time of the year. And Jesus, according to Matthew, walks into that place, the temple, and drives out the money changers and those who are selling animals for sacrifice. He overturns the tables and he accuses them of making God's house a place of robbers. By the way, this is just an aside. For those of you that like to use this verse as a justification for using your anger, I trust Jesus and his anger more than I trust you and your anger, or me and my anger. What is Jesus doing? I mean, what is this all about? It seems that in anticipation of his own death, which was about to occur, his own death for the sins of the world, that Jesus is pronouncing judgment on the temple, and he clearly sets himself above the religious leaders of the nation. He's also claiming the right to declare that the whole sacrificial system, for all of its divine origin, has now degenerated into something that is no longer acceptable to God. This is really, really serious stuff. This is how you get crucified. But Jesus is saying something more than the old way of the temple is now out. He's also announcing that the new way of the kingdom of God is now in. Notice in verse 14, Matthew states, "The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." What's going on? Why does Matthew add this detail? Well, according to Old Testament law, the disabled and the disfigured were forbidden entry into the temple. They were not allowed in. King David even reaffirmed this law in his declaration made in 2 Samuel chapter 5. But now, the Son of David welcomes the lame and the blind into the temple, and he heals them, pointing to the new, the universal blessing and restoration that's found in the kingdom of God. So at this amazing display of love and kindness, the children, who, by the way, were not supposed to be in the temple either. That's not a place for children. They erupt in praise. Hosanna to the Son of David. And the religious leaders become indignant. And they ask Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And of course, they know Jesus hears what they're saying. And Jesus replies, "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say," and he quotes Psalm 8, verse 2, "You have taught children and infants to give you praise." Haven't you ever read the scriptures? Jesus has just caused a great commotion in the most important place at the most important time of the year. The lame and the blind follow him into the temple in violation of the Old Testament law, and he heals them. Then children start shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And if that wasn't enough, he then looks at the religious leaders and asks, "Haven't you ever read the scriptures?" And then he goes on to describe the scene that has just taken place by quoting a passage that refers to giving praise, not to Jesus, well, not at least they didn't know to Jesus, but explicitly refers to giving praise to God. And Jesus is saying, that's talking about me. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? That's our question for today. It's important to remember, Jesus is posing this question to priests and to scribes who knew the scriptures inside and out. This question is purposely insulting. Jesus knows full well this is an absolute insult. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? It'd be like asking LeBron James after he misses a shot and you say, "Don't you know how to shoot a basketball?" Haven't you ever read the scriptures? This question is clearly a rebuke from Jesus, because of course they had read the scriptures. So what is the accusation? Jesus is accusing them of failing to understand the scriptures. Of course they had read them, but they had not comprehended the message. They had missed the point, so to speak. And why? Why? Why would men who were, and by the way, the priests and scribes, I'm not being sexist, they were all men. Why would men who were thoroughly immersed in the scriptures miss the point? And we should just pause that, so that clearly is possible to do. Just because you know the scriptures doesn't mean you know them. I think there are several reasons why they may have missed the point. I'll mention just three. First, we know that Jesus accused the religious leaders of having hard hearts. They had hardened their hearts to God. So I guess people like us ought to take note of that. That is also very possible to do. Just because you wear these things doesn't mean you're a godly person. You can harden your heart even though you're reading the scriptures every day. They may not have understood the scriptures, not because they didn't know what they said, but because they did know what they said and instead chose to ignore them. And that's why Jesus called them hypocrites. They were hypocrites. Second, perhaps they missed the point because they were so locked into their own assumptions that they couldn't actually get to the real meaning of what the scriptures were saying. For example, it's clear that the disciples were so fixed, they were so fixed upon their belief that the Messiah would be a conquering king. They were so fixed on that idea that they could not see the Messiah as a suffering servant, even though Isaiah clearly depicts the Messiah in that way. And then third, and most important for our sermon today, perhaps they missed the point because they missed the point. Maybe they just fundamentally misunderstood the whole purpose of the scriptures, and therefore they missed their meaning. That's what is going on in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus has just healed a man who had been crippled. And he healed him on the Sabbath, which, of course, the Jewish leaders were angry because he had healed this man on the Sabbath. Never mind the fact that you have a man who's crippled for a long time and now he's been set free, he's healed. No, they're upset, because this is a desecration of the law of God in their minds. And this was deserving of death. And Jesus responded to these religious leaders by giving them a defense of who he was, and by the, you know, he clearly lays out the authority by which he has healed this man. And in essence, he told them that they were mistaken in their evaluation of what was going on, because they did not know the scriptures, and therefore they didn't know God. These were Bible scholars, but Jesus is saying, you don't really know the Bible. And in conclusion of his indictment, Jesus challenged them to go back to the scriptures and to observe what they had overlooked, what they had missed. And he said this, and this is really key. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Jesus was saying that studying the scriptures is not enough. It's not enough. There's no value in studying the scriptures if the whole purpose in doing so is neglected. And Jesus was saying quite clearly that the purpose of the scriptures is to lead people to him, to himself, so that he might give them life. You know, the Jewish religious leaders were teaching something very different. They thought that scripture in and of itself was the key to life. Hillel, a celebrated Jewish teacher of Jesus' day, said, The more study of the law, the more life. If he has gained for himself words of the law, he has gained for himself life in the world to come. Therefore, even though they knew the scriptures, every word, they missed the point. The point was standing right in front of them, Jesus. But they missed it. They thought that just knowing them is what mattered. But the study of Scripture by itself does not give us life. The Scriptures, rather, they bear witness to the one who gives life, Jesus Christ. And so the study of the Bible, it ought to change us. It ought to result in faith in Jesus Christ, followed by obedient action to his words and transformed lives. We don't study the scriptures simply to acquire knowledge. According to Jesus, the only way we derive life from the scriptures is to be able to be led to Jesus through the scriptures. Because all the scriptures, Jesus says, bear witness about him. The entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is ultimately about Jesus, to point us to Jesus. You have taught children and infants to give you praise. Even though that's in the Psalms, Jesus says, that points to me. Throughout Scripture, God is unfolding the story of his grace that obviously comes to fruition, comes to a culmination in Jesus Christ. Haven't you ever read the Scriptures? Jesus now is walking out of the pages of this story and turning to us and asking us this question. Haven't you ever read the Scriptures? Now, we have to be honest. In contrast to those religious leaders that Jesus was talking to 2,000 years ago, the answer for us might be no. No, we haven't. And we just have to be honest about that. You know, a Pew Research poll showed that 88% of Americans own a Bible with an average of 4.4 per household. So that's pretty good coverage. We have the Bible, for sure. However, that same research showed that the majority read it very, very little, less than four times per year. And I don't even know, it didn't clearly say, you know, what qualifies as reading it. I don't know. I guess that could be as little as just reading a sentence. The truth is, we have more access to the Bible than any people have ever had in the history of the world. Online and in print, hundreds and hundreds of reading plans that we can get online, apps for your phone that will deliver verses to you and sound an alarm when they arrive, and on and on. But despite that availability, the research suggests that few of us read it with any regularity. And this is we just have to be honest here. This is a real problem for us. If the point of the scriptures is to reveal Jesus to us so that in him we can have life, if that's the whole point, that we be led to Jesus so that we can receive his grace and be in relationship with God, then we really cannot be disciples, you know, making disciples who make disciples. What we've said around here for a long time, we really can't be his disciples without reading the scriptures. And we all have lots of excuses. I don't know what to read, and on and on and on. But the truth is, any of us can figure this out if we want to. We can. And we, at the end of the day, we really don't have any excuses. It's there for us. And it's something that each one of us, me included, have to decide to do. We have to make it a priority. And I get it, you know, the guy standing up here who basically gets paid every week to read the Bible and prepare a message from it, you know, that seems kind of unfair. Well, okay, so that's an advantage, I admit it. But it still doesn't change the fact that this is what we're supposed to do. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? Maybe we missed the point because, like the religious leaders, our hearts are hard. That's very possible for all of us to do, to just harden our hearts to things that we know the Bible teaches. We know what it says, we just don't want to do it. We know that Jesus says don't pass judgment, but we pass judgment all the time. We know Jesus says that we should all serve, but a recent study, a Pew Research study, showed that 76% of people in the church do not volunteer for anything during the year. So we know that it says that, but that doesn't mean that we follow through, and that may be because we've just hardened our heart to what Jesus is saying. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? Maybe we don't understand because we're so locked into our own assumptions, like the disciples, that we just can't see what Jesus is really trying to teach us. And finally, maybe like the religious leaders, we miss the point of the scriptures because we miss the point of the scriptures. You know, scribes and Pharisees are not just a thing of the past. Their descendants are alive and well in the church today. The church today is full of people who believe that spiritual maturity comes primarily through the acquisition of knowledge. Now, let me explain this. Certainly, knowledge gained through the reading of Scripture is a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing. However, gaining knowledge by itself is not the same thing as discipleship to Jesus. It is not the same thing as going deeper in our faith or growing spiritually. It's not the same thing. Gaining knowledge clearly is part of what enables us to follow Jesus. It's essential. However, Jesus never equates the acquisition of knowledge by itself with spiritual maturity. In fact, he says quite the opposite in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, he tells a whole parable about building your house. And if you build your house on the rock, that means you hear what Jesus says and you actually put it into practice. But if all you do is hear it, if all you do is take it in and don't put it into practice, Jesus says, well, that's of no value at all. That's like building your house on sand. And that house eventually comes crashing down. The purpose of the scriptures is not simply to know what they say. The purpose of the scriptures is to reveal Jesus to us so that we might be led to faith in him and follow him and ultimately become like him. That's what we pray. That's what we prayed earlier in the collect that we just prayed earlier in the service. That's a collect that was written by the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Cranmer, the author of the Book of Common Prayer, and he really was the spiritual architect of the Anglican Church nearly 500 years ago. This is the prayer that he wrote. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, and here's the therefore, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer. And that prayer doesn't end with reading and learning the scriptures. It doesn't end there. Rather, we read and learn the scriptures so that we may know Jesus and the eternal life that we find in him. The scriptures are not the end. They are a means to the end, who is Jesus Christ. Haven't you ever read the scriptures? I hope as a people we can say, yes. I hope our houses aren't filled with Bibles that we never read. And when we read, I hope we will keep the point in mind. The point is not to read simply so that we can accumulate knowledge and answer the questions correctly. We don't enter eternal life because we've passed a theological exam. That is not what Jesus teaches. The point of the scriptures is to lead us to Jesus Christ so that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life.